Like we said, Lori has a table in the back set up. So after service, if anybody wants to go back there and get some more information about the trip, I am very disappointed. Well, I talked to Lori earlier this week, and we were very disappointed to know we couldn't go to Honduras. The person who was the most disappointed, however, was Allison, because Allison didn't get to spend 10 days with her best friend. So she hit John when she found out we weren't going. So John was told that if we don't get back, I will sick Allison on him, and nobody wants that. Last week, Pastor Paul started a new series, Come to Your Senses, talking about the prodigal son turning his back on his father, on the life he grew up with, and wanting to go out on his own. At the end of the story, Luke chapter 15, verse 17 says, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death.'" Last week, we talked about tasting God. The sense of taste, the reminder of what it is to take communion, not the fact that what we are eating and what we are drinking are significant by themselves, but the reminder of what it meant, Jesus Christ dying to save us. This week, Paul asked me if I'd be able to tie into any of the senses, and I said, I don't know. I had an idea of what I was going to speak on, but let's see, and he helped me work this out, so... thank him for a wonderful sermon. In Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, 13 United States of America, where in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve their political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. In decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare their cause which impel them to separation. The first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. Today we are going to be talking about look and see, the Lord is good. I have asked myself this question for a long time now. Why are we not the way we were? Let me explain that a little bit. I always hear my parents say, in the good old days, back before we had 5,000 stations on TV, the TV channels were much more wholesome. Back before we had cell phones, people talked to each other face to face. Back before we had any of that, what was the founding of our country about? What did it mean for them to say who God was? Laws of nature and nature's God. What do we look at when we see the laws of nature? Laws of nature can be defined as the ruling government over nature. Gravity, physics, how things grow. But the laws of nature doesn't just tell us how things grow, it tells us how things thrive. Because not everything grows in the same way. Every plant needs light to grow. But if you put certain plants out in this direct sunlight, they will wither and die. The laws of nature, the laws that nature gave us, that God spoke into nature, are different for individuals. Different plants need different things. There's a reason why I can't get anything to grow when other people can. I don't pay attention to those things. When God made creation, when he said he created everything, he made everything in order. When we look to the creation of how he created the heavens and the earth, how he created plants, then he created animals, and then he created mankind, to do what? To look over it, to take care of it, to take stewardship of it, to make sure it can grow and it can prosper, to prune what needs to be pruned. Did our founders see God in the same way? The answer would be yes. In paragraph 2 of the Declaration of Independence, we see that they say God is a creator. The sentence states that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Probably the one sentence we can all quote from the Declaration of Independence. God created. Do we see God as a creator? Do we remember that He brought everything into being and gave it an order? Now, that order isn't always the easiest thing to deal with. He created each one of us special and unique, but He did not make a mistake when He created you. Some of us have tempers. A temper by itself isn't a bad thing. Being passionate about something and wanting to make sure something succeeds isn't bad. Letting your temper control you can lead you into destruction. But being passionate about something can help you elevate and help you succeed in what that is. Having a problem with how you view God created you is as much of a problem as saying that there is no creator God. If you believe that you were a mistake, if you believe that God didn't know what He was doing when He formed you as a unique individual, then it's just as bad as you saying that God didn't create you to begin with. And I have a hard time imagining any of us say that God didn't create us. God didn't form us. God didn't know the hairs on the top of your head. Or in Bob's case, the lack of hairs. But we live in a world now where we say that if I feel this way, then that's the way I have to be. God made a mistake when He created me because I was meant to be someone else. I was meant to do something else. Did God make a mistake in His creation? No. The founders didn't see it as a mistake either, because if the founders seen God as making a mistake, why would they list Him in a document for our independence? Why would they say that it is from God that we get our rights and not from anything else? They listed a being who is far greater than any of them could even fathom. And that's where we get our rights from. In the last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, they cite God as judge. We, therefore, as representatives of the United States of America, in General Conference assembled, appeal to the supreme judge of the world. Goes on to say that they are appealing not just that they are to do the right things because of punishment, but to judge them because they know they are doing the right things. Judge me on our actions, not just our intentions. Just because we say we're going to do it, we're going to follow through with it because You will judge us. We will all stand before God the Father and be judged in the end. And they were saying they will do it now. They are going to stand before the supreme judge of the universe, just like the rest of us will. And they recognized who that person was. In the last sentence of the Declaration of Independence, they say God is a protector. And in support for the Declaration, a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence. Do we use God as our protection? They listed God three ways: as a creator, as a judge, and as a protector. When I look back and I see the words that they used in a founding document, the celebration that we do today, I look back and I say, do we still see God like that? They took Bible verses, that what they have read on Sunday school, what they had studied, and they applied it to a federal document. And they said, this is who we're serving. This is what it's based off of. Now what? Why is it that some people can find solace in a document that's 200 plus years old, and yet the foundation of that document is over 2,000 years old? The scripture verses, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah chapter 33:22, for the Lord is our judge, and the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is king, and he will save us. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God proves true, his shield to those who take refuge in him. Pulled straight out of the Bible into this document, and yet seems like most Americans would rather prove this document true than what the document was based on. Where do we look? Where do we focus? Where do we rest? Where do we look and see? I don't want to look and see at a document that was written by mortal hands. And as much as I love our country, the Declaration of Independence was written by men. For men. I'd rather look at the source material written by a God who will never pass away. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will not pass away. Do we look at God like that? Do we stand on his promises? 1 Peter 1:24-25, all flesh is like grass, and all the glory like flowers of the grass. And the grass withers, and the flower falls, and the word of the Lord remains forever. And the word is the good news that was preached to you. Do we see God like that? Our founders did. Our founders knew who God was. Now, we could get in debates over which one, blah, 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 blah. Like Paul said, our founders were Christians. They knew who the Christian God was. Our founding documents even prove it. And yet, as a nation, we seem to be taking our eyes off of God. We want to place our faith in man, who the president is, who your senator is, who your congressman is. What happened to placing your reliance on who God is? We look and we see the Lord is good. We see everything going on in Honduras, and this past year has been horrendous everywhere, but we look and we see everything God is doing there, and we wonder, what is he doing here? Do we see God in the same way? I can't wait to take my kids outside of America to see God in a way that we seem to lack. Not we as the church, not we as Bryant, but we as a nation. We have put God in a cage, and we have said he's only allowed out in these certain situations. And we all do it. We all see it, because when God is mentioned, it's because somebody's going through a horrific accident. Somebody's needing medical attention. Somebody is needing this, and the only time God seems to be brought up is when we need something from God. Now, you can be experiencing something completely different than me. Please share it to everybody you know, because what I'm getting is we only come to God when we need God for something. Let's face it, we need God for everything. We can't do anything without Him. But when we look to Him, we only look to Him in the bad times. We don't seem to look to Him as much in the good. We look back at Him in the good times. We look back and say, yes, God was with me, but where was the praise when we are going through the good times? Praising God the entire way. Sharing the good news. Looking at God the entire time. Pastor Paul told me to speak on look and see the Lord is good. Yes, the Lord is good. I don't think anybody here doubts that. And the ones that do doubt it are doubting it because of a situation they are going through, because they have a hard time seeing God in that situation. And I got to tell you, I've been there. I've had a hard time walking through a valley and seeing God in a valley. But I've never had a problem seeing God after I've gotten out of the valley and seeing where He was with me. I'm not proud of that. I wish I could say I seen God the entire time as I was going through a valley. Something I'm working on. Psalm chapter 19, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. When we look to God, do we look to His word? Do we look to it as a light to our path? When we look at God, do we see Him in our everyday life, in the mundane and in the extraordinary? Because God is everywhere. But we don't ever seem to look and see everything He's doing in our lives. Now, I praise God. We had miracles, my dad being one of them. When that horrific accident happened, we don't remember seeing Dad having a thumb and a finger. And yet he has it to this day. I look back on it and I see a miracle happening. But I also see the miracle of his life. In the short time I have been in his life, I have seen God work through him. Through him working through me. But if I ever take my eyes off of God, if I ever stop looking for Him, nothing makes sense. Decisions my dad had made for me, for my family, doesn't make sense if our eyes aren't on God. The decisions for our founding of our country doesn't make sense if their eyes weren't on God. It makes no sense as a country to say all men are created equal. It makes no sense. Because there are things that make us unequal. Complexion of our skin. Some of us are richer, some of us are poorer. Some of us have great work ethic. Some of us are lazy, would rather play video games all day. That doesn't make us equal. What makes us equal is we all are loved, formed, and created by God. And in Him, we are all the same. Because it's His standard we have to live by, not ours. It's His standard we have to strive to be. Not the standard of the people sitting next to you. It's not their standard that matters. It's God's standard. And once we get our eyes fixed on God's standard, everything starts making more sense. All men were created equal, yes, because we are all creations of God. We have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Because God allows us to. Because God strives for us to be happy, because He wants us to be happy. He is our Father, and He cherishes us to be happy and celebrating who He is. Do we see God like that? Do we look to God in those situations? Or do we choose to turn our back on just looking at the founding documents and going, that was something that was written 200 years ago. It doesn't apply today. Because the government says that critical race theory is more important than all men are created equal. Because somebody tells you that you can't succeed because of you have a hard time reading at school. And it takes you three times longer to complete your homework than it does people next to you. Or you fail one class every single grade of high school. Or you have the wrong skin tone. You're a girl, so you can't succeed in a man's world. We have all heard those excuses, and yet none of those come from God. God will use all of us, whether we want Him to or not. All we need to do is keep our eyes on Him. Look to Him for our answers. Look to Him for our solutions, instead of looking to the people next to us. Now, the people next to you, I'm hoping, are reflecting back to Him. I'm hoping we're lighting the world around us by attracting people to God and not to us. Because I don't want to be the one up here saying these things. I don't want to be the one up here saying words that are coming out of my mouth that are not guided by His hand. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to say the thing God wants me to say. And I'm hoping that helps every single one of you in here. Because if it was just my words, they're not worth listening to. I'm not that intelligent. But with God, I am so much more than I was. We need to look to Him. Bow your heads as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You on this Independence Day, a day where we came together as a nation to say, we know who You are. We know the laws that You have set forth in nature, and we want to follow You. We want to allow the world around us to see that there is a place for You to be worshipped freely, for You to be served. Have we been perfect at this? No. But we strive to it. We've learned from our mistakes, and we come before You, God, wanting to see more of You. Wanting to see You working in our lives, working in the lives of the church, working in the lives of the kids going to camp tomorrow, Lord God, working in the lives in Honduras, working in the lives to everyone around us, so we can shout from the rooftops who You are. Not just the bad things, praying for You to rescue us, Lord God, but in the good times, saying who You are to those around us. I pray, Lord God, we never take our eyes off You. We never lose You in a crowd. I praise You and honor You, Lord God. Amen.